Hello, everybody, and welcome to Showhoppers Severance, Season 1, Episode 6, Hide and Seek, our favorite game. I'm Kurt, joined with my former high school teacher, Mr. Sal.
Kier, chosen one, Kier.
Did you like that? The music?
You didn't let me finish. I was going to keep going.
I did not want you to keep going. That is fine. That was plenty enough as is.
I thought it sounded pretty good. Of course, I'm wearing headphones, so I actually have no idea how it sounded.
Yeah, it sounded pretty good.
All right, thank you.
It was good. But was this episode good? Let's see the ratings.
Ratings.
First things first, do you give this episode the mandatory minus one? I feel like by the book you can't, because we did see, the thing is we didn't really see Audi Dillon that much. We did see him though, for at least the briefest of moments. We saw Audi Dillon, but she didn't really get to know Audi Dillon.
We good?
We good? Oh, okay.
that's his only line, I think.
Okay. I thought you were telling me, as in, like, yeah, the beef is squashed. I'm.
Oh, at ease no, I was not telling you that. I think that's the only line Audi Dillon says.
I think you're right too. Yes. Presumably because Milchek comes to Audi Dillon, says, "Hey, I need to talk to your innie. I'm from your work."
Right.
It was all, of course. I mean, it seems like they all know Milchek as their Audi selves. At least Audi Mark did, because he called in sick.
Audi Helly did too.
Yes. So he's like, all right, yeah, sure. And then, you know, we good. How do you feel about that? I mean, what I'm hoping perhaps excites you from that scene is that Innie Dillon sees that he has a son. So we'll probably see some sort of effect of that inside the office next time we see him in there. I don't think that satisfies your need. I think you're still at max a 9. Given the rest of the episode, we got a lot of outside the office stuff, especially with Mark and Alexa. Quickly, Mark, is it an 8? Is it a 9? I'll be bullish. I say you gave it a 9.
Okay. I think that this episode, I don't know if I actually know if you feel opposite from me. But I think maybe there's not enough on the inside for you to give this episode a 10. Because they do spend quite a bit of time on the outside in this episode. So and some on the outside, not even with anybody from the office, because we get some scenes with just Devin. I think you probably wished you had more in the office, especially given all that was happening in the office. So I think you gave it a 9. I shouldn't say. I've only said negative things. I think you like a lot of it, though. I think you do like the stuff with Dillon. I think you do like the stuff with Alexa. I think you like seeing Grainer outside of the office. I think that appealed to you. I think you really loved the stuff in the office, especially in optics and design. So I think you really liked the episode, but not enough on the inside, too much on the outside. So 9 out of 10 for you.
You got me right, but I would say your reasoning is wrong.
I got you right.
that's exactly what you love your students say. It works wrong, but you got the right answer. Wonderful.
Yeah. On a multiple choice question, that's fine.
I liked all the outside parts. It's my favorite part of the episode. Well,
oh wow!
And I don't. I'm fine with not having as much inside stuff. I've just enjoyed it up until now. Honestly, the inside stuff for this episode to me feels weaker. There's still some good elements in there, but it is the weaker part of the episode. So there.
Okay.
That is my feelings. But I love all the outside stuff. No complaints really there.
Wow. I was way off. But still ended up in the right place.
But still got there, exactly. I'm curious, how did you feel about this?
I also gave it a 9. This is my favorite episode since the pilot.
Okay. All right. This is the outside. But You had to give it a minus one.
I did have to give it a minus one because even though we do get Dillon on the outside, he's not interacting with. I mean, he's interacting with.
We're not learning about him.
Milchick doesn't count. Yeah. But yeah, we're not learning about him except that he has a son, which that was very exciting to me to think about what they can do going forward with any Dylan knowing he has a son. That's that's going to be messed up. So that was exciting to me. Harmony to me was super interesting in this episode. She's apparently just a massive zealot.
She is
really, really drinking the Kier Kool-Aid. I mean, she's got a shrine. She apparently attended the school, the Myrtle, what's her name? Myrtle Egan School for Girls. She's singing the theme song. Like she's humming the theme song.
Yeah, to the baby.
The baby. Like, I mean, so that was all very interesting. I did really enjoy seeing macro data refinement interacting with optics and design too. I thought that was really cool. Seeing Mark's defiant streak, like, you know, you're banned from the hallways. Well, you know what? We're going to the hallways. Come on, folks. Like, that stuff was pretty cool. The Devon stuff is interesting to me. I think that those the politician and his wife are, I assume, going to play a bigger role going forward if we're getting scenes dedicated to her discovering them. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of exciting too. Seeing Grainer at Harmony's house was exciting. I really loved this episode. I loved everything about it.
But you couldn't give it a 10.
I can't give it a 10. I'm not doing 10s until I see some outies interacting.
You saw we good. We hugged his son.
Yeah, but he's still not
to know.
He's still not interacting though with other people from the office.
You don't know a lot about him.
That's well, yeah. And when I say interacting, I don't mean like Harmony and Grainer. They know they're not innies and outies. They're not severed. I want to see severed people's outies interacting.
Yeah. So that's any of the main macro data refinement people.
Birth. And optics isn't designed too.
Yeah.
And apparently Miss Casey. I did not realize Miss Casey is severed.
It looks like she is, yeah.
Yeah. And she's only part time.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, poor Miss Casey.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Was there?
Yeah, I thought she was on the inner circle, but no, she's not.
I know.
Not.
No, she's on her own little island with the goat guy.
Essentially, maybe there's a lot of counselors. Yes. Maybe there's a whole shrinking of a therapist. Check out the back catalog. We got season one.
And we will have season two whenever that decides to drop.
But yeah, no, so the outside stuff, I was all about. The inside stuff, it's still pretty good seeing them come together and really seeing them rebel, but it just didn't have that oomph compared to the outside stuff. It just wasn't as good. So I didn't feel like I could give it a 10. That's my rationale. But enjoy the episode throughout. It looks like Mark on the outside is turning a new leaf, maybe.
It definitely seems like he has made a shift in his thinking toward Lumen. I mean, he's scream singing F you Lumen. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like there's been a shift there. Also, I'm sure you noticed this because you've been more attuned to this than I have. He declines Merlot at dinner. He's drinking water.
I did not notice that, actually.
Oh.
But I did not notice that he declined the Merlot.
Yeah. He says, I'm good with water. Yeah. So, I mean.
Not drinking as much.
Okay. Yeah.
He did have a beer at the band or concert. The alley, but whatever, I guess. I mean
he had it in his hand. I don't know if he drank it. I wasn't really paying that close attention, but
you know what they say, a beer a day keeps the doctor near the bay. I don't know. Maybe I should say a bay.
I don't know. I really don't.
And not a doctor.
Sal on the morrow, expect great sorrow.
Oh, that sounds very Artful Dodgerish.
It is Artful Dodgers. So check that one out too, folks.
It's good, especially if you like the Oliver Twist stuff. Yeah. Like Mr. Sal.
I just started watching the musical again tonight, actually.
Really? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, let's see if we can guess each other's favorite scenes.
Okay.
Favorite scenes.
I think we talked about this last week, but this is a shorter episode, even shorter than last week's episode.
Yeah, this is quite short.
Short episode. This is like, well, around 40 minutes.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe 42, but there was a recap in there. So yeah, probably around 40.
I think I have no idea what you would do for your favorite scene here. there's a lot of different ways you could go with it. I think because you're married, and I think you like to think that if you passed away, that your wife would be thinking about you like this. Maybe it is the dinner scene where he refuses the Merlot and he starts talking about Gemma a bit, opening up to Alexa. That is your favorite scene.
It's because I talked about it already, isn't it? Because I just mentioned the Merlot thing.
I'll be honest, I was gonna go with the Dylan scene before, but I'm swapping over to that.
Okay.
Because honestly, I think the Dylan scene infuriates you a little bit. It's like a crumb. It's like if I gave you crumbs to my excellent brownies. I mean, aren't these really good crumbs? And you would,
yeah, oh man, are. Just thinking about that makes me mad. Stop.
That's what I think the Dylan scene is to you.
Oh man. Okay. I was gonna go with a scene for you. I was gonna go with a scene on the inside, but it sounds like that's not the way to go for you. I was gonna go with MDR and OND meeting up and Mark being a poet on the spot. But I guess I'm not going to go with that. Do I go with the dinner scene? Do I go with the Dylan scene? I could go with either one of those. I think on the outside, that's probably the way to go, is one of those two scenes. I'll say you said the Dylan scene.
You think I said the Dylan scene?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
You got me right. I said the Dylan scene.
Oh, man.
I like the crumbs. Listen,
the crumbs.
You might hate the crumbs, but really, it's the best ROI, right? It's the least amount of diminishing return. It's the least amount of diminishing return. You get a whole brownie, right? Like, the first bite of a brownie is the best bite. So like,
yeah, but you don't even get the first bite.
Exactly. So you don't even get the diminishing return within the first bite itself. In theory, one crumb has the least amount of diminishing returns.
No, because you can't even taste it. No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous argument. However, it's not a ridiculous scene to pick. That was my favorite scene as well.
Ah, I should have picked the crumb scene for you. See, you like the crumbs too.
I loved it. Oh my God. It was, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, really? Like, the MDR and OND scene is probably better. The dinner scene with Alexa is probably better. But nothing excited me the way that Dylan scene
it does really excite me. Like, what is this going to mean for any Dylan? I mean, they've broken the seal in a way, yes. I think, right? Like, they kind of probably show us more, right?
Maybe. I would think so. I mean, a few things popped to mind immediately. First of all, this severance procedure is not spatially activated. It's not a space thing. They can activate it remotely.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be – that's terrifying. You don't have to be at work for them to turn you into any – or any.
Yeah, no. They can call in.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my goodness. So I assume they can turn you off at work too if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So that's all terrifying. I don't like that. I mean, I like it from a storytelling perspective. I don't like it if I'm severed. But I really that was interesting. And then the idea that Dylan now knows that he has a son, that is counter, so counter to everything we know about any Dylan.
Yeah, to how he feels that Audi Dylan is.
If you were going to tell me only one person, only one of these four innies has a child, when Dylan would have been the last one I picked.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Well, no, I guess Mark would have been the last
well,
one.
Well, Mark, we know he doesn't. So, I thought you meant out of the other three.
Out of the other three, yeah. I mean, really. The fact that Dylan has a kid, he's talking about being in muscle shows. He's talking about wearing his nice ass shirts to impress Miss Casey. He's talking about their will they, won't they romance. But he's got a kid.
He feels bad for all the guys, for the girls he gets with.
Right. I mean, that's like, wow. That was mind blowing. I don't know how he functions from this point forward, but I'm sure we're going to find out. But. So this scene just excited the hell out of me.
No, it is very exciting. And I guess something else to note is that whatever, so this is in reference to, he smuggles some sort of card. It's called the ideographic card from O&D.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. It like self-defense like things on it looked like.
I mean, I don't know if it's self-defense or actual aggressive acts. Like they were really aggressive.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't know what, like, I don't know what the representation of them was.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he took one, put in his pocket. That's all we see in the episode. Yeah. Milchek hunts him down after hours because this is very sensitive information. Like, was he paid to do this? Why, right. You know, why'd you take it? Well, it's in the bathroom. I think he said like second stall or something.
Something like that.
And really, he didn't know what it was. And Milchuk's like, that's all right. That's all right, too, I guess, if you didn't know what it was. And then that's when the kid comes in and he has to flip it off. So
another thing, this is going to be totally, because I'm, you know, a parent, this is going to be, you don't want to say anything to me being a parent?
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I didn't say speaking as a parent, so maybe that's what threw you off. But yeah, so anyway, if I'm Dylan and I hear Milchek scold my kid like this, we told you to count to 1,000, wait outside. If I hear that, Milchek's getting it.
Like, really?
Yeah. Nobody's talking to my kid that way.
Yeah, but like... You're in it right now, so you're in it, Mr. Sally.
I know
you had a kid,
but now I do.
Well, but it's too late now. Like, then I'm gonna flip you off. You're too much in shock.
I'm telling you, I know that's not gonna come up. I know it's not gonna come up because they don't have time to do all this, and I'd be shocked if that's the thing they focused on. But if it's me, and maybe because I just found out that I had the kid.
Yeah, you just met that. Yeah, and maybe you don't have that like attachment that you've had growing up with the kid. You know,
right? Yeah, maybe I let that slide, but I'm telling you right now, if any Dylan somehow communicates to Audi Dylan, hey, Milchek was kind of rough with your kid, look out.
Well, I mean, well, no, you're not looking at Milchek's perspective. What if you don't know what it was like? Maybe the kid came out. Okay, kid said, I can count to 1,000. And Milchek was like, no way you can count to 1,000. And the kid was like, yeah, way, watch. And then he counted and he cheated and he didn't count to 1,000. You're Milchek, you'd be pretty annoyed about that.
It doesn't matter. You can't like, yell at somebody else's kid when they're right there.
His parent rules.
I mean, look, you can scold my kid like that. If you're a teacher and you're teaching,
you can scold your kid, but not when you're in that room, though.
Not when I'm right there.
Yeah.
I see what he's doing. I'm not yelling at him, so don't you yell at him.
Yeah, no, fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
And this kind of comes down to, like, and this is more philosophical, but, like, is it really any Dylan's kid? Like, does he really have any sensible claim to the kid whatsoever? Like, yes, it's physically his body, but,
yeah.
But like, mentally, I don't know. He doesn't know this kid really at all. He didn't go through. There's a claim to be made. He has no, or there's an argument to be made. He has no claim towards the kid. That's any Dylan.
So
even though I feel like common sense almost feels like, yeah, of course he would. It's Dylan's kid, but it's a different Dylan, different consciousness.
So here, a couple of things. First of all, there's not another character that's severed that we know of that has spent so much time thinking about and talking about his Audi as Dylan. Nobody does that in the office.
That's true.
So I think he is more interested in his Audi than anybody else. So I think this is going to be something that does impact him. And I think one of the things that will impact him is even though he doesn't get to see the kid, he is going to feel some sense of obligation.
Oh yeah, I agree. So, I think you will too.
Yeah, and that will change his behavior.
Mm-hmm. Does he reasonably have a stake for the kid though? Really, is it any Dylan's
kid? Think he does. No, I know, but okay. So in what? It's not like there's going to be a custody battle over him. Like it's there. Only one Dylan exists at a time.
Yeah.
Whichever Dylan exists, I think has the best claim to the kid.
I wonder if any Dylan's going to try to get rid of Audi Dylan so he can have the kid.
I mean, I don't know. It's possible. It's possible that any Dylan is going to try to quit because he wants to get to know his kid.
Well, no, but if he quits,
he'd just die.
Exactly. Well, now, but here's the thing, though. I've always thought that, but since now they've shown that you can be activated outside of the office by just a flip of a switch. Now, what stops me, the any version, from becoming the permanent version? If I can get that switched forever.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't really know if this will come into play, but that is now a thought I did not have before. That it was never an option to me that the indie is now forever. But
yeah, maybe. I bet Helly's going to be very interested to know that.
Well, this okay. If you can, Helly probably would be. If and I already thought about this for stuff like Harmony. What if like Milchek, Harmony, they've gone through the same severance process, but they've just permanently, you know, flipped the switch. Like and it, so well you're so once they sever you and they get rid of all your past memories, it's a lot easier to like cultify you or at least teach you the beliefs they want you to follow.
Oh.
Then, you know, but yours isn't just based on being at work. You're just there like that all the time.
Huh.
So almost as though if Irving got outside of the office, right?
Yeah.
Out of all the MDR people in the department, I think he's the most likely to still follow the rule set because I think he truly believes it. Right.
Okay.
Even with outside influence, I think he's the most likely now.
You mean if he was still any Irving, but he was outside the office?
Yes. Yes. Like he was in the outside world. I think he would still believe in the handbook. Right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
To some degree. So what if they do that with like Harmony? Maybe Milchek.
No, that's interesting because Harmony is a good case study for that. Actually,
Harmony is especially in this episode. Yes.
Yeah. Because if she's got the shrine to Kier, and it does. Like there are a couple different there's Harmony, I think it's Harmony Selvig or was it Harmony? What's her any name?
Cobol,
yeah. I think it was Harmony Selvig on the certificates. I can't remember though. There was also a Charlotte on one of the certificates, so she's got several different names that she works with. So I don't know. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
Well. In either case, interesting thought, interesting scene, good scene.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Sal, are you ready for Who Said It, our favorite game?
Wait a minute. This is the second time you've said our favorite game this episode. I thought hide and seek was our favorite game.
Oh, man, I'll be honest. I love to hide. I hate seeking. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I hate
Well, that seeking. Works out well because I'd rather seek than hide.
Really?
Yeah.
I should play some hide and seek. You'll never find me.
Okay. Well, I'm terrified of this, by the way. This Who Said It, I'm horrified of this.
Well, let's go see it.
Who Said It?
Listeners, if you're curious why Mr. Sal is terrified of this Who Said It, last week I gave him some sensible quotes, one being, of course not. It's obviously Milchek.
Ridiculous.
He thought it was so ridiculous. You can look in the back catalog for episode 3 of The Regime. He decided to give me 3 quotes, all of which that consisted of course. And I, of course, got all those 3 quotes right. So
I did give you a lot more context than just of course not.
I think of course not was
definitely
plenty.
Did.
I think word count is a very simplistic way of looking at
it. It wasn't just word count. I didn't say words. I said that's context.
Fair. That's fair. You know what? You're very right. I just wanted to hammer that into you.
So listeners, we'd love to hear your opinion of this, of course, battle. This is, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Check that episode out of The Regime, episode 3.
Check out The Regime,
Yeah. Check out the whole series, but yeah, specifically that episode if you want to know why I'm terrified of this, because Kurt absolutely put me in my place.
So, well, here's what I think it is, right? I think you just don't like... When I think of Who Said It, I think it is interesting to do, like, a quote, and it's kind of difficult to think of where the quote could apply, and you try to figure it out based on, like, you know... what characters could have said it, your knowledge of the series, and then you get, you derive the quote, who said it, and then what scene. That's what I think of when I think of Who Said It. I don't think you think that way for Who's
I don't
that.
Think that way.
You don't. I think don't. And I have now made this. I have three quotes and I've picked them out in what I think you would like Who Said It to be.
Wow. Okay?
So this is what I think you this is the way I think you want the game to be.
Okay. So you're telling me I probably already have these quotes written down somewhere.
I think you will love this version of the game. I think this is the version of the game that you dream of it being. Okay.
I think you might be gassing me up here. I don't know.
So I have three quotes. We will start off with the easiest of the three quotes. Are you ready, Mr. Sal?
Sure. No, but go for it.
Okay. I think as the two department chiefs, Mark and I should make contact with this goat department. See what they know. And we can bring one aside and it gets cut off.
Ridiculous.
Do you want me to reread Come that quote? On.
No, I don't want you to reread the quote. It'll take like half an hour. I can't. What a jerk.
Do you know who said it, to whom, and the scene?
Yeah, I absolutely do, because you spoon-fed it. I mean, even if I didn't know, which I do, you said the two department chiefs, and you named Mark as the other one.
I did not name anything. I merely read the quote.
It's ridiculous. I feel worse now than if you just stumped me. This is horrible.
This is the way I think you'd want the game to be played.
This is not the way. You know it's not. It's not the way I play the game.
What's the scene then? Yeah, because though you
Bert,
already know
it's
it.
It's Bert to Mark when the MDR goes in to O&D and they.
Correct. Ding 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 ding. You're one for one. That's a good job, Mr. Sal. That's excellent.
Wow,
yes.
Wow.
That is it.
Wow.
They,
thanks.
They meet up in O&D and MDR travels over, despite the hallway ban.
The friends.
Christopher Walken. You know. So they. Yeah, Burr introduces them to the rest of O&D that they are friends. You know, we can ask some questions back and forth. Immediately they're asked, you know, what data do you refine?
They don't know.
They don't even answer the question. They go, why do you have a watering can? And, I swear she hissed. I forgot her name now.
Felicia.
Felicia, yes. Felicia? Yes.
I think she did hiss. I think you're right.
And... You know, Bert talks a little bit about, you know, maybe they do supplies for the executive wing. He doesn't really know, but he notes that last week's output was aggressive, so also emotional, like MDRs. They feel kind of emotion towards the numbers they sort. And
oh, yeah. True.
There were hatchets last week.
But they weren't aggressive, though. Oh, yeah, she was trying to shush her colleague.
Yeah,
not,
talking
not
about the hatchet.
MDR, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. Mark tells her the baby goat department he saw before, so maybe should they inquire about that place? Gets a little poetic, as Dylan says, talking about, you know, why are they in the dark? Why don't they tell him what they're doing down here? And Bert agrees, yeah. Right? Here,
But he says, if the Egan philosophy is illumination beyond all, then why doesn't that include us? Which Bert does agree with.
Yeah, he does. And so we get his quote, which I read for the scene, that they can go and get him.
took you like a minute and a half to read it, but yeah.
Yep. And meanwhile, that's when Dylan steals like the card for later that Milchick will come see him for. And speaking of Milchick, he pops in the room to break up this little get-together and get MDR back. So... Yeah, good job, Mr. Sale. You got that. That's one out of one. Proud of you. Are you ready for... But that was the easy one, all right? That was the easy one.
Oh, boy, was it.
You're ready for number two.
All right.
Okay, number two. I'm sorry, Mark. It's my fault that I've been setting a bad example as the senior most refiner.
You condescend to me. Unbelievable. You
is this not the way you want the game to be played?
This is not the way I want the game to be played. Ridiculous.
Well, I played it my way, but I don't think you've been liking my way, so I'm doing it what I think is your way.
It's you know it's not my way.
Well, I think it's the
you've
way you want
receiving,
it to
be. You've been on but the receiving end of mine so many times.
I know what you dish out, but I think this is what you want to be consuming. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Oh, No.
Well,
it's not.
Who said this quote then?
It's Irving. What to Mark. Scene? When Mark gets back from being yelled at by Cabell that they're not allowed to use their hallways anymore, he says, "It's my fault. I've been doing trips to O&D."
Oh yeah, no, you got that spot on right too.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Two for two. Imagine. Good job. Yes. So when Mark returns to MDR, we see Dylan and Helly speaking a bit about the baby goat code word. Sex. It's not really though, apparently. Who knows? We know.
We can be pretty sure.
We can be confident. Dylan, maybe he's not. But Mark comes back, reveals they don't have hallway privilege anymore until they hit quota. Then screw it. We're going to O&D anyway. And we get the last scene we just talked about. So, yeah, no, good job. You got that one, too. But that one is a little harder than the first one I gave you, because the first one I gave you, you know it's one of two department chiefs. This one, there's...
You know it's the senior different. Most member of the MDR.
So you kind of got to know multiple MDR members and know, like, which one's the senior most. Yes.
Unbelievable.
All right. But I'll tell you right now, the hardest one is not self-referential in any way.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sure. Are you sure this is the harder one?
Oh, I thought that was the quote. Sure, I was gonna freak out. Okay.
Oh man, you almost spit out my water.
All right.
You ready?
Go ahead, hit me. Right. Yeah.
What does camaraderie mean? Most linguists agree it comes from the Latin camera, which means a device used to take photograph. And of course, the best photographs are of groups of happy friends who love each other deeply. But I think camaraderie is more than smiling together in photos. It's standing together in hard times. It's recognizing a common struggle in another person and reaching out to offer them a loving hand. You know,
I might intentionally get this wrong just to. That, I don't know what that does to you. That doesn't hurt you at all. Never mind. I'm not going to intentionally get it wrong. But I was interested. I'm not sure that there is a Latin word for camera.
No, I don't think the Latins had a word for a camera, which means a device to take a photograph. I don't think they had the word photograph either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so this is Rickon. That's an excerpt from Rickon's book Mark is reading.
Correct. That is correct. And that one I felt a little cheaty doing, because technically it's reading, but there's the voiceover part. So I thought that was fair game. I wanted to check with you that was all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right, there you go. So good job, Mr. Sal. We're 3 for 3 in Mr. Sal's edition of Who Said It?
This is not my edition, folks. This is not what I have in mind when I plan a Who Said It.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's basically also the whole scene. We had like a little montage of reading the book, and that's all the words in the scene.
That is all the words in the scene. Oh, my God. I mean, it does, like, lead right into the next scene, though, where Irving wants them all to go to O&D, but they have mysterious and important work to do. But in that scene, Mark and Helly are kind of flirty with each other. And this is when Dylan calls out Mark for giving her more. What does Irving say?
Like he's smiling with her. He has dewy mouth.
Yeah,
he lacks the facial expressions for the rest of them. He says,
"You are sparing with the facial encouragement, Mark." Irving says. So, but I'm assuming that quote from Rickon's book informs Mark's behavior in this scene. That's why he's being. I mean, it's very possible that Mark just does have a crush on Helly, but you know, I think part of it is him trying to foster camaraderie.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he's really taking the book to heart. I don't know if Dylan's still reading it.
I don't know. Maybe Mark hit it somewhere else.
He hit it pretty well. These guys are all hiding stuff constantly. They're like rats. or like a hamster. Like they just take it and put it somewhere. Dogs can do that too. But all right. Well, hey, you did a good job on Who Said It. Proud of you.
No, you're not.
Well, you were dreading it. You went 3 for 3. You should be happy.
I take no pride in that.
You know what this might be analogous to? You ever have a pet snake?
No, I've never had. You know, I've never had a pet.
I know,
snake.
But it was a rhetorical question for the listeners.
Okay.
So, you've never had a pet snake. Me either. But to my knowledge, and listeners, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it probably depends on the snake. But if you just feed the snake like food, it will eventually get sad. You got to give it like live food every once in a while. It wants kind of that hunt.
Uh huh.
So maybe it's like that. Maybe that's what Who Said It should be. Maybe there should be a spice of difficulty in Who Said It. And the more difficult a quote is, the more pride you take if you can get it correct.
No, look, yeah, I.
And then we move on.
I don't disagree, but I do think that the quote should be, like, first of all.
I thought these were all substantially difficult.
No, you didn't.
For your level.
For what? What a jerk for my level. Oh my God. No, but I think that the quote should have some sort of like significance within the episode. And it should also, of course you do. And it should also be something that is relatively unique and not something that you hear said by anybody in any TV show ever. Like, of course not.
Fair.
Okay.
But just to retort that, I'm pretty sure I've heard this whole Rick and camaraderie soliloquy before in another TV series before. I'm just saying. I swear. Probably heard that before.
Okay.
All right. Who's to say?
I can't prove that you haven't.
You've watched all TV shows ever. All right. Well, now that we know that you said it, let's enter the recap. Start off the episode with Harmony, Shrine, Cure Shrine. She also has Petey's chip as a necklace.
Yeah.
And she also gets a call from Grainer.
I don't know if you noticed too. She's got like plushies of Kier.
On her bed. Yeah. And she gets a call from Grainer that, suffice it to say, Rigabi seems to be the one that's cracked the integration.
Yep.
And he'll look into it and figure out where she is. So we don't know who Rigabi really is. They seem to both know him. So maybe just the.
I think by the end of the episode, we know who she is.
Yeah, we meet them.
Yeah. Meet
them. So, I don't know her connection with them previously. So, I'm assuming maybe she was a former employee, or maybe someone that was part of the severance process, or maybe just a real troublemaker, a real thorn in their side.
Yeah, well, it seems that way. Doesn't Grainer call her one of ours?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Mark heads for work. Chucks that phone in the trash, the one that keeps ringing, because this phone keeps ringing. It's very annoying, and he goes to work.
He's got really good aim, by the way.
Yeah, you know.
That phone was in pieces. There was like a crack open on the garbage can. He got all the pieces in the crack.
Well, trash is trash. A magnet.
Oh, is that okay? Now I get it. Thanks.
We go. We see work. Bert showing off his secret plant room he found. To Irving. So this is Irving's secret place to get away from all the drudgery at work. And, you know, for a moment there, they might have lip-to-lip contact.
Well, Irving's not ready.
He's not ready, so he has to stay. But he's willing to stay with Bert. He doesn't have to.
Yeah, that non-romantic lip-to-lip contact.
And then the non-romantic thing together in the planty area.
this is where all the oxygen is generated.
That's fair. The oxygen room. On the outside, Devin's walking around with her baby Eleanor, and sees Gabby and her baby and kids.
Baby William.
Yeah, she goes to talk to Gabby. Gabby kind of snubs her at first, so she comes on down, chats with Gabby. Kid is Bradley, not William, which wonder why that's changed. And she also doesn't seem that into her. So she's kind of goes off with her husband. So interesting.
Yeah.
What?
I was going to say her husband really kind of dismisses Devin.
Does. Why do you think the kid's a different name? Boy, did she lie to Devin? Did she perhaps forget what the kid's name was?
No, I'm sure she didn't forget.
Did she perhaps, is she severed?
Boy.
Kurt's just trying to see if everyone's severed here now, right?
That would be interesting.
I'm just trying to shoehammer in the fact that now that I know it's not location-based, why can't we just start severing a bunch of people?
Dude, actually, think about this. Like from what I understand, I don't know from personal experience, labor is the most intense pain and agony that you can.
I also don't know from personal experience. But definitely very painful.
So what if someone severs themselves so that they don't have to go through labor? Right?
Imagine the reciprocal of that. Imagine if you come into being existence
just to go through labor. Oh, right,
what a hell.
Well, that's why you get the nice lodge. It's your only job. I mean, seriously, I think that might be exactly what I didn't even think about that. Wow, so that's interesting.
We'll have to see, but now I'm very into this idea that you can be severed not just location based. So
no, we know her husband is a huge proponent of
exactly
severance,
mm-hmm. Yep, we will see. Oof. That later.
Wow, that's mind blowing. That might be it. I think I'm onto something there.
You son of a gun, aren't you?
What?
You son of a gun. I want half credit for that one.
You can have half credit. You can have half credit. Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Wow. That's cool. Like what was the thing?
Such a funny existence.
Something like this just happened in Culprits. Or no, it was. I think it was in Culprits, but I know it was in A Murder at the End of the World, where I had the person and you had the method.
Oh yeah, we definitely had that in A Murder at the End of the World.
Shared that credit. I feel like something happened in Culprits like that too, but whatever. I'll share the credit with you on this. Yes.
Thank you. I don't think it's a far shot.
No, I think that's exactly what it's going to be.
So that, or it's just. She really doesn't like the common folk. She lied to them for some reason. But
it could have been a lie. It also could have been intimidation. Like it could have been because she seems subservient to her husband here. Mm-hmm. Like her husband calls the shots, and so it's possible that she wanted to name the baby William, and her husband was like, "No, this is Bradley."
Could be the case. Well, we get back to work, and we get Rickon's book quote about camaraderie. Mm-hmm. We then see the four macro data refinement folk working, talking about. Well, they aren't actually working here. They're having like a meeting. Irving wants to join the departments. Helly wants to map. We see Mark kind of getting Dewey mouthed as Dylan puts it, as Helly leaves and they chat. And Milchick comes to get Mark to see Harmony. Harmony, chats with Mark that, well, Miss Casey is in the break room since you and Helly went for a walk, and that's all it was, right? A walk? That's what Mark sticks with. So she shows a contradiction where they were not just walking, but exploring other offices. So what's the deal with that? Mm-hmm. And Mark, he doesn't just take this. He wants answers. He wants to know what they're doing here. And Harvard is not.
We serve Kier, child.
You, I think
that would have been a decent quote to throw at me.
No,
we serve Kier.
No, that would have been too hard, probably. Or like that's just that could be so vague. Like, what if Irving says that, or what if? I don't know. I think the department chairs, Mark and I.
Well. Until you get that through your mildewed little brain and hit quota, MDR's hallway privileges are hereby revoked.
Yoink.
Hallway privileges. Wow.
Like
that's the incentive. If you're good little boys and girls, you get to use the hallway.
Yes. And now they don't. So he goes back to MDR, tells them, we talked about this scene, to then go to O&D anyway, which we talked about this scene. It ends with Milchick coming in, breaking up this get-together. He takes them back to MDR's office, where it's Harmony singing this eerie Kier song.
Kier, Chosen one, Kier.
And she,
Kier, brilliant one, Kier. Sorry, I'll stop there.
She's annoyed that Mark has abused her trust, so off to the break room with him, with Grainer. And when he's in the break room heading through, like, the tight corridor that they have for some reason, he passes by Miss Casey, who's on her way out.
Yeah. By the way, I neglected to mention this way back when Mark was in Miss Cabell's office. Mm-hmm. At one point, he's kind of sticking up for Miss Casey. And, you know, he says, you know, that was my, I got her out of there. I got Miss Casey distracted and I took Helly for a walk. I'm allowed to do that. Like, Cabell says, who won't you go to the break room for? So it does seem like Mark is not as averse to the break room as everybody else is.
Well, I suppose, listen, earlier in the season, he seemed all in. So I think he goes right in the break room. He reads the line once to go, good job, Mark. And he leaves. He just needs one read. This might be a lot more long-fought break room here.
Well, it looks like it got physical, not just emotional in the
break room. Oh, and that's because the red knuckles. Now, this is the end of seeing Workplace Mark. Listen. I know you prefer the outside stuff. I don't know if I necessarily prefer the outside. In this episode, I do. You know, it depends what story they're telling here. And
I don't know if I can say I prefer the outside stuff because I do really like the inside stuff, but I really want a balance. Episode one is my favorite episode so far because it was like,
it was 50-50.
It was a severance of the episode. It was like, maybe it was like 35 minutes and 25 minutes or something like that. But it was a pretty balanced dosage of inside and outside.
This one's very similar in that sense.
I agree. That's why this is my second favorite episode, my favorite episode since the pilot.
But we won't enter the workplace anymore now. And there's a lot of curiosity now as to what's going to go on there with Dylan, Mark's hand, especially that he's in the break room. But now in his indie life, he's out for dinner with Alexa. Doesn't know where his knuckle marks are from, whatever they tell him, whether or not that's true. And
I thought he said the water cooler.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yes, you're right. He does name one, but he goes, if that is the truth, that's what they tell
right,
me.
Right,
right. Mm-hmm. He gets on the topic about Gemma, right? At first, Alexa asks if he ever tried having kids himself, and they tried, but they couldn't. Uh-huh. And then they thought about adopting, but then you kind of realize, you know, you get the life you have, and you should do something with what you have. And that was kind of Gemma's philosophy. Very pragmatic in that sense.
Yeah. Alexa calls it healthy, but it was really cool. The exact quote I think is, okay, this is the life you've been given, and that's another life, and you don't get to have that one, or you don't get that one. So do something with this. And that, like, it's a really kind of, I think that is a healthy philosophy to have.
That's a pretty good one. An analogy to break it down on the child level, in case we have children listening on Show Hoppers, would be if you wanted the newest action figure, but you had the older action figure, play with the older one. That is what you have.
I mean, yeah. Or if you want to get a little older, substitute video game for action figure.
No, you should get the new video game. Speaking nonsense. And Mark feels a little weird talking about Gemma, which is understandable. I mean, you know, on a date with someone else, but Alexa's into it. I think she puts it, I'm not walking out on you yet.
Yeah.
So, you know, he ponders about, he talks about how he thinks about Gemma, whether, you know, he still cares for him in death, or if he doesn't really care for him. He questions it, right? He's got a lot of, I guess, unfinished business when it comes with Gemma. It's almost like spending 8 hours a day forgetting.
Yeah.
Does it help at all?
Right, right. Yeah.
So,
And she says, two things. We find out that Devin is looking for a lactation consultant.
Yes.
So, which that'll come into play in just
a bit. Is that why she's... I thought she's there for... I thought that was, like, supposed to be a professional for... Okay. You know, that makes sense. So, she's just as a nurse. Okay.
She's there for She's there as the lactation. Yes, exactly. So, yeah. But she also says, you know, she's a part of you. You can't just separate yourself.
Yes, you can.
But you can, Alexa, with this exciting new procedure.
And speaking of that procedure, we see Devin doing some web sleuthing. And yes, she sees that Gabby's married to Angelo Arteta, I think, or Arteta?
Arteta.
Arteta, okay.
I think it's Arteta.
Pennsylvania, so it looks like they are in Pennsylvania. Senator, who is very pro-severance. That's about the only position we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like she's friends with a senator's wife. They're basically friends. And then Rickon and Devin meet Harmony, who is recommended from Mark to help, I guess, with this latching situation for Eleanor. And she's killing it. Not literally, but figuratively. Mm-hmm. No one is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Very musical this episode.
I know. Well, interestingly, did I already mention this? That
yes,
instrumental did. Version of that song is playing when Harmony is worshiping at the shrine in the first episode.
First scene,
yeah. Okay. Sorry, yes.
We then get our favorite scene, which is Dylan, Innie in his Ali's closet and meeting his kid. So obviously,
so exciting. So exciting.
Very much so. Meanwhile, Mark and Alexa are going to call it a night, but he sees June, which is Petey's daughter, on a band poster. So they'll try to head on over, see if this band is cool enough for him. And it is it's a loud alley.
No noise ordinance here, I guess.
No, it's like, you would hear this for blocks, I feel.
Uh-huh.
Like. Oh, blocks. Yeah. But they enter the band alley. Mark and Alexa are a little out of water, but they actually seem to enjoy it. Mark tries to record it. He's told he can't record it. I don't know if this will ever matter at all, but I wonder why they put that in there. But
yeah.
I don't think it will matter, but who knows?
I don't know.
It
might matter that he has a recording on his phone.
Okay.
I don't think the fact that he isn't allowed to record at this thing is...
Well, I'm wondering why they drew attention to that, but I see it. Yeah, all right.
Just so that we remember that he has this recording on his phone, maybe? I don't know. You're
right. No, but that's a good point, that the fact he has the recording.
Right.
Might be used later. Harmony wouldn't like to see that, but...
That's true. Was he recording the FU Lumen song? I don't think it was.
It's right before. No, it's before that. But I mean, okay. June's on stage.
And that's
he
true.
He has no real reason to be here. So that might be a through line.
Mm-hmm.
They do sing the FU Lumen song. Mark gets into it. And after the song, he talks with June. He gets along, you know, he says nice things. And how Petey would have liked that. Or he says, your father.
But yeah.
She's kind of frustrated by that because you wouldn't know what you don't know him.
Right.
You're severed. And then there's like a brawl that starts. So they leave. And outside, Mark tries to explain kind of this weird, complex, nebulous situation with June and I guess Petey. But she doesn't want to hear it. So she she seals his lips with her lips. That's the way you put it.
Romantic lip to lip contact. What would you say?
Well, no. Well, I guess not in the office, but I guess that's out of the office. Yeah. I don't know if that's allowed. Presumably it is. Grander comes to Harmony's house. He's figured out that Rigabi is holding up in the local college. You want to come? No, she does not want to come.
Do you know what this college is called?
I forgot. They said it.
It's either Gons or Gains.
Okay.
I can't remember. Anyway, I'm trying to decipher here my writing. I can't remember if it's Gons or Gains.
Does it matter for anything though, right? Like, is it a name or anything that we know from a different character?
No. I mean, Gons in German means like everything.
Ooh, the college that teaches you everything.
Yeah.
Also, maintenance is going to be installing that door tonight. So, Mark awakes post coitus. I guess
post-coitus.
Yes, as you would say it. Or at least, I mean, I guess far past it because they've been sleeping now.
Man, you remember that? I haven't said that in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't said that.
I don't think I've taken the lead on anything with any. No, I did.
You did.
Maybe bodies. Maybe in bodies. I said that.
Or
woke up post-coitus.
Or The Artful Dodger.
Oh, you might be right. Maybe I did say post-coitus there too. I really like that expression, post-coitus.
I think I first remember you saying it in Leftovers. Maybe.
I'm pretty sure it was Leftovers, yeah.
But, you know, he does the best thing you can do, which is ditch her completely to go first. Which definitely won't backfire in any way. I hope he like at least left a text or something, or like a message saying, hey, you know, welcome to hang around at my house. I'll be back. Or like, so I don't know. Yeah. This isn't a good look, but he.
No, it's not.
He leaves. And I mean, I guess the fairness thing, he leaves just to go grab his phone.
Yeah.
Fine. Trash might come. I don't know. So he goes to grab his phone, but immediately he rings. So it's similar to, you know, if you give a mouse a cookie here, goes to get the phone, it rings. Well, now he's got to pick it up. So he answers it. And then the voice knows he's Mark.
Yeah.
And now that the voice is here, he's got to tell the voice he wants to learn. He wants to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when the voice says, if he can meet now, he's got to meet now.
He's got
to
do it.
But while he's going to go meet, we see the maintenance crew for the severed floor come in, and it looks like install a locking door on MDR. So they're going to lock MDR in their office.
So I got kind of that impression too, but what I didn't see it as a locking door. I thought it was an elevator. So I thought maybe there is no actual elevator. Well, there has to be though, because they come out the same way that they go.
I think it is just a sliding door that like locks. Like it's not like a.
That could be. But either way, it does look like they are a lot more confined now than they were before.
Now they haven't just been stripped of hallway access. They're now literally locked in the room, it appears. So we see the final scene of Mark going to the college and meeting Rigabi, or at least we presume to be Rigabi. Mm-hmm. And he's alone, as far as he knows, but Grainer's probably en route, if not already, watching them. And he follows her, I think. We don't actually see him follow, but
is just conjecture, right?
It is conjecture.
Oh, you're talking about conjecture. Mark follows her.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant Grainer. I was like, wait a minute. That seems like a bit of an extrapolation, but okay.
That is. We don't. Well, Grainer's probably en route to the college.
Yeah, probably.
Will they avoid his wrath? Who knows?
I don't know.
There you go. That's the recap. That's the episode we did. Who said it? Well, we have to check the time, Mr. Sal.
Our other favorite.
And would you look at that? It's TV time. Ain't no time like a TV time. I think the people of this episode gave it a 5.
So do I. Yeah, they did. 75%.
Yeah. The character ranking. People said Mark. Maybe you said Helly. No, I think you said Mark.
I think you said Mark too.
Yeah, of course I did. I
said Mark. Yeah. Why would I say Helly?
I was hoping that might throw you off for me.
I was trying to think attempt. Like, did Helly even really do anything in this episode? Not much.
I should have said like Dylan or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Dylan or Harmony are the only other ones.
Oh yeah, Harmony would have been a better one. Yeah. I was just trying to.
But that might be another reason why this is probably my second favorite episode, because we didn't just have Helly broken record trying to escape.
I'll push back on that. I think it's a very listen. It's yes, she wants to escape, but you know, it's different every time.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, anyway, yes, the people did say Mark 87%.
All right. Well, there, very easy one, I'd say. Yeah. But good episode. I mean, this is your second favorite season. I don't know if it's honestly my second favorite. I enjoyed it.
I'll tell you what. I was like very into watching this episode. I didn't want to even push pause on it.
Well, do you want to hit pause on the next episode potentially?
No, you can't pause any jazz. Yeah, defiant, let that jazz play out.
Jazz.
Yeah.
What music genre is kind of defiant in nature? I guess rock. I don't know.
Yeah, punk maybe.
Punk rock would definitely be. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But jazz, defiant jazz. So it looks like the workers are going on strike, I imagine.
I'm not sure where you got that from, but okay.
Well, defiant jazz. I think they're going to defiantly jazz out.
Well, that'd be interesting. What if they all had an instrument on the inside? They all know how to play an instrument.
Someone's got a cello. Yeah. No one else has the bass.
You got a trumpet, a bass, saxophone.
No one else also has the other drum cello. Set. No, just cellos and basses.
Just cellos and basses. That's dun, it. Dun,
dun. Yeah. You don't see the cello crew? Yeah.
The cello crew.
Well, we'll have to see next week when we meet the cello crew, potentially. I mean, only time will tell. In the meantime, though, you can check out some of our former podcasts. We've already mentioned a few. Some other ones real quick to list off. Mrs. Davis, Chernobyl, Watchmen. I guess Lost. I don't know if I've said Lost this week. Old Man, season one. We've yet to do season two. Outer Range, season two is going to be coming out relatively soon, and we're going to be covering that. So go check out our season one coverage. If you want to contact us, showhopperspodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to, you know, also subscribe to the podcast, leave reviews, 5 stars, share it. We really do appreciate that. And we'll be back next week with episode 7, Defiant Jazz.
Shoehammer some showhoppers into your day.